Testing level is inconsistent. Number of patients in the hospital is up 131 as of Monday. The town-by-town numbers are out. Tiverton gained the most new cases in Newport County with 16. Newport had 8. Jamestown, 5. Portsmouth added 5. There were 2 in Middletown. Little Compton added 1. Yesterday was the first day of early in-person voting in Rhode Island. The Secretary of State's office said almost 6,500 people voted early in person statewide just yesterday. The Newport Planning Board is due to take up for the first time a draft North End urban plan during a special public hearing on Thursday, October 22nd via Zoom. Visit cityofnewport.com for a log on for the Zoom meeting. One person was killed, 2 others hurt when multiple bullets fired at a vehicle near a school in Providence Tuesday. And Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee was scheduled to bring his small business tour to Newport on Wednesday. It's Thursday, so the LG is live on WADK at noon before the governor, talking about his work to bring about the newly announced expansions to the Restore RI Small Business Grant Program, as well as newly announced business adaptation grants and nonprofit grant program in partnership with the Rhode Island Foundation. And your weather word continued sunny and nice. Details on the way on 1540 WADK.
1540 WADK. Here's your Boating in the Bay report.
And there is a small craft advisory that is in effect and will be through late tonight. Otherwise, for the day today on the bay, south winds 10 to 15 knots. Gusting to 25, same for tonight. Tomorrow, south winds around 10, becoming west, gusting to 20 in the afternoon, waves 2 to 3 feet, a chance of showers. Rhode Island Sound, south winds 10 to 15 knots. Next high tide in Newport Harbor this evening at 7:22. Sunset at 6:05, sunrise tomorrow at 6:57. It's a new moon tonight, and the current temperature on the Newport waterfront has leapt to 66. And that's Boating in the Bay on WADK. Welcome back. It's Bruce Newberry. And joining me on the line is the executive director of the Rhode Island Philharmonic Orchestra, David Beauchesne. David, nice to have you back with us.
Thanks, Bruce. Great to be here.
Always great to talk to you. And we have really something special coming up this weekend, Saturday night, the Philharmonic celebrating 75 years with a gala concert, and it's actually going to be real musicians on a real stage, looked upon by real people in a real audience.
That's right. Live audience present, obviously a much smaller audience than we typically would have, no more than 125 people at the...
Mm-hmm. I think you're cutting out a little bit, David, so move towards a window, and we'll... I'll see if I can fill in a little bit here. This is really great. 125 people are going to sound like 1,000 in that auditorium with the enthusiasm.
They will. We're expecting a very enthusiastic in-person audience. And then we'll have, we hope hundreds, if not thousands, participating via live stream from home.
Oh, that's going to be tremendous. And don't underestimate that. That could be the actual sweet spot, David, because the thing with these Zoom concerts and Zoom performances is the applause is not there. And I feel so bad for the performers that they just don't get the love that we want to give them. But now there'll be people in the audience who will convey our applause who may be watching on Zoom.
That's right. No, it'll be much more, I think, real feeling. Yes. To those people who are at home because, for one, they are participating live and in real time. And for another, as you said, there is an audience there and it certainly will feel more like being there yourself to hear that actual applause and not the fake applause that we've heard at, certain events that we've all seen.
I know. You're right. Well, this is really going to be special. What's on the program?
Well, you know, we're so thrilled to be joined by incredible artists, Pinchas Zukerman yes. and Amanda Forsythe. You know, Pinchas Zukerman is obviously, you know, one of the greatest violinists of all time, and also an.
Oh, there you go again, David.
I'm so sorry. I don't know why.
I feel worse for Pinchas. You just said something nice about Pinchas, and it was lost.
I did. You know, I said he's one of the foremost violinists.
You just did it again.
Oh no!
Just as you said something, Pinchas is one of the great, and off you went.
Wow. But I apologize. I'm not sure why we have such a bad connection this morning. Sorry. I really do apologize.
These things happen.
They do. You know, he's one of the greatest violinists of all time. He's also a phenomenal violist and conductor. And so we're fortunate to have him, you know, both playing violin and conducting on this concert with us.
Wow.
And then Amanda Forsythe, who happens to be his wife, is also one of the greatest cellists of our day. And she is going to be doing some works alone and also a Vivaldi duet with Pinchas on the second half.
Wow. So what might we hear?
Well, you'll hear some works. You'll hear a work by Handel, a work to open the concert. Then a work by Jesse Montgomery, who's a former member of the Providence String Quartet,
really?
Known to many of us here, and is now taking off as one of America's, you know, greatest young composers. Then Pinchas will play and conduct a Mozart violin concerto.
Mm.
And then we'll take a brief break from the music to actually talk a little bit about our mission and our 75th anniversary. We will give some awards to people who've made an impact. We're going to give an award to the Winokur family for three generations of service and effort supporting the Philharmonic's mission. We are going, and it's the John Hazen White Senior Leadership in the Arts Award that we'll be presenting them. And we also occasionally present that to someone who represents our mission on a national and international scale. And this year that will be Pinchas Zukerman.
Oh, how nice.
For his work, not only as an artist and an ambassador for music, but also as an incredible educator and really a pioneer in distance learning for music. He was really the first significant artist to pioneer online teaching in music. And he created an institute for that at the Manhattan School of Music. And it's really his work that I think has allowed us as an institution to pivot our music school to online learning so quickly once COVID happened.
That's remarkable. So great. What a story.
Yeah. And then we'll also, you know, we'll raise a little money at intermission too. We have a fund in need, which will be focused on making it possible for us to do a better job of giving lessons and classes online. So that'll happen. And then we'll go back to the music for the second half. We'll have first a piece by Fauré Elegy, which mm-hmm. will feature Amanda Forsythe soloing with the orchestra. Then, as I said earlier, Pinchas will join Amanda on a piece by Vivaldi for viola and cello, for violin and cello and orchestra. And then there's a wonderful piece that'll round off the program. You're getting a sneak preview. It's actually an encore from a piece of film music that they've recorded. So I won't spoil what it is, but there'll be a lovely encore for everyone who's tuned in to conclude the night.
How nice. That's great. And of course, we have the good wishes of Bramwell Tovey.
We do. You know, Bramwell was supposed to be with us and conduct this concert, but as many of your listeners might know, he has had a bit of a continuation, unfortunately, needed continuation of his cancer treatment. The tumor that we had all hoped had been destroyed had a little bit left, and so they need to go back in. It's the same issue he had last fall that caused him to miss a couple of concerts.
Oh,
with
I
us
didn't know that. Oh my god.
While he was treated, but they didn't quite get all of it, so they got to go back in and get the rest of it this time.
Huh.
So he'll be out a little bit, but we hope he'll be able to be back with us again very soon after treatment's concluded. So he sends his best wishes. Obviously, you know, last time he was able to get treatment and then travel down for concerts. But in the age of COVID, that's just not possible.
Yeah.
Because of quarantine requirements in Canada. And frankly, also, you know, it's just not safe.
He's at risk. No question.
he's at risk.
We all understand that. You bet. Well, yeah, so, gosh, we certainly send along all good wishes to him and to all of you folks. What a story. I mean, I have to tell you, David, you're kind of carrying the banner for performance here in the state of Rhode Island. I mean, you're it. You've been boldly going where no one else has gone this fall and into the spring by the looks.
Well, that's right. And I can tell you it hasn't been easy.
I'm sure.
And I think, you know, one of the reasons we've been able to do it is that we have a great relationship with our orchestra members and with our musicians union. You know, they wanted to get back. And that meant that, you know, we all had to, A, agree on ways to do so safely in collaboration with the State Department of Health, both, you know, what would be safe for our musicians and for our audience. And we were able to work that out. With a lot of great medical advice from people in the community and beyond. And we also were able to come to terms on an agreement to allow us to live stream our concerts. Mm. And I think, you know, what's holding a lot of arts organizations back is the difficulty of doing those two things. And it's not to be trivialized. It was one of the hardest things I think those of us involved in the process have ever done. Mm. And, you know, and there's still many challenges. So we're working on it. But, you know, what we believe is that our mission hasn't changed. And in fact, with the way COVID has changed our society over these past few months, it's more important than ever. People need the respite that art provides and that music, live music in their community provides. It's different than listening to a recording. Listening to a recording is a solitary thing. Listening to a concert is something you do with other people and with musicians that you know and have a relationship with. They're, you know, these musicians on our stage are of our community and are known by our audience. So it just conveys a different meaning and is a different experience for people. And it's a more social and connected experience. And people need that now. So we worked as hard as we could to try to bring it back as quickly as possible. And, you know, we're pleased to be doing so. We did our season premiere in September with a great concert with guest artist Ben Bileman.
Yes.
And now we're here with the gala with Pinchas Zukerman and Amanda Forsyth. And we know this will be a spectacular concert. And then going forward, starting in November, you know, we're leading off with a concert of Strauss, Bach, and Dvorak on November 14th. And we have the great conductor Kensho Watanabe coming up from Philadelphia. Mm. And Oliver Herbert, who's one of the best cellists in the world right now, will be joining us. And Oliver will do one of the Bach cello suites for us. We'll be doing a Bach Brandenburg concerto that he'll play on. Huh. And so, you know, it's just going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's not what we originally programmed, but it's still going to be music.
But it ain't bad.
Audience, it's not bad. and that the audience is going to love. And so we're excited about that in November. We've also got, and unlike our usual season where we would do one concert a month, because of COVID, we're actually going to do two concerts a month.
Hey, that's great.
And so following that up on November 21st, we've got the pianist Angela Cheng coming, and we're going to do an all Beethoven concert with a Beethoven trio and a Beethoven sonata. And I know the audience will enjoy that. Then in December, we're going to go into holiday mode. Typically in December, we would do Messiah or mm-hmm. something holiday related. Obviously, something that large scale is not possible, but we're going to do a holiday brass and organ concert.
Wow.
On December 5th, which will sound huge to everyone in the hall and at home, because, you know, we'll have a huge pipe organ plus I think 13 brass players on stage. And it allows us to social distance, but still on stage and in the hall, but still provide a great holiday concert for people. And then in on December 12th, right now, we have it planned for Bramwell to come back and do his own holiday concert with guest artists that are to be announced.
Wonderful.
So we've got a lot of things, a lot of fun things planned. In the new year, we have it planned for Bramwell on January 9th to open with a Strauss concert, and then an all Mozart concert on the 23rd, and then actually a a third concert in January because we couldn't fit it into February, an all Gershwin songbook concert with Bramwell. And then in February 20th, we have the gifted young conductor Lena Gonzalez Granados, who's been winning award after award these days, coming to work with us and to do a great program of mostly new works, but some Elgar on the program as well. So excellent. It's going to be a great season.
And if you want to find out more and stay up to date, you can always visit where?
RIPHIL.org.
RIPHIL.org it is.
To find out, RIPHIL.org, to find out what the orchestra is doing, how you can participate in classes and lessons at the music school online, because we're doing a ton there online. We know people are stuck at home and might want to take up an instrument that they've always wanted to play but haven't had the time to do, and maybe now they have it. So
you bet. So
we've got a lot of new students and a lot going on at the school, and of course we hope everyone will subscribe in one way, shape, or form to the live stream concerts that we have going through February. And then if conditions allow, we hope to be able to welcome more people back to the Vets in March and beyond, and increase the size of the audience there. But we're also going to continue to live stream. So look for programming updates beyond February once we have an idea of what the conditions and requirements will be.
Excellent. And it's going to be a wonderful gala concert this Saturday. Details at riphil.org. David Beauchene, Executive Director, thank you so very, very much. And congratulations on all these efforts. They are really appreciated, more than you know, more important than ever. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bruce, and thanks to your listeners for all their support.
You bet. All right, my friend, we'll see you soon. All of the best. And that's a taste of what's going on at the Rhode Island Philharmonic, huh? Yeah. Time for traffic. WADK's exclusive VD Mercedes-Benz VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Bridge traffic report. It is a long ride on the Mount Hope Bridge. More on that in a second. Newport Bell Bridge looking pretty good right now. You're moderate from Midspan to Newport in the construction zone, 25 miles an hour. A little slow on the Calpis exit. Westbound, Jamestown-Verrazano, two work zones to get through with a lane restriction there. So 8 to 10 minutes either direction. Mount Hope Bridge, you're going to be there a while either direction. Lane restrictions down to one lane, stop and go from way back on Boyd's Lane going north. And you're backed up now just to the bridge entrance in Bristol. It was worse, but still 20 minutes or so in either direction to get across the Mount Hope Bridge. So Conlett River Bridge, well, looking good from Portsmouth to the VD side of the river, where it's always VD and you. We'll check it again in less than 30 minutes.
This portion of programming is sponsored by DEA Take Back Day, October 24th, DEATakeBack.com. Join the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration for National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 24th. Visit DEATakeBack.com.
Hi, this is Stephanie at Coastal Foot & Ankle. We would like to thank everyone for the stellar year we've had. Coastal Foot & Ankle is a multi-practice podiatric doctor's office specializing in surgical and non-surgical foot and ankle issues. Dr. Jonathan Saborin is the Doctor of Podiatric Medicine at Coastal Foot & Ankle. We participate with most major insurance companies and are currently accepting new patients. We are located at 850 Aquidneck Avenue in the back of the Middletown Commons Plaza. We also have a location in Fall River, Massachusetts. We at Coastal Foot & Ankle strive to bring you comprehensive care that is also compassionate. When you call Coastal Foot & Ankle to make an appointment, you talk to a person. You don't have to push 15 buttons to get to a live person. We want patients to come in and feel like they are more than a number. We want you to be heard, and we want you to be part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family. Our phone number is 401-849-2157. You can find us online at coastalfootdoc.com. From Dr. Saborin and all of us here, thank you for being part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family.
Humphreys Building Supply, 1540 WADK, and the all-new Mix 99.3 present the Newport County Chamber of Commerce Business of the Week.
Cox Business wants to help build the best plan for your business. Cox will provide a comprehensive plan that may include upgrades and improvements to your internet and business phones, or introduce you to voice over IP systems. Go to cox.com today.
Think, be, and support local. Start with this Business of the Week.
At Humphreys Building Supply, they know a thing or two about living and building in Rhode Island. They've been doing it for over 130 years. Their commitment to this community sets them apart from the big box stores. They are here to provide you top quality products and the personal service you've come to expect. So whether you're looking for doors, windows, paint, or are considering a kitchen redesign or an addition to your house, you need to visit one of their locations in Tiverton at 590 Main Road or Middletown at 8 Cottington Highway or Humphreys Paint Center at 750 Aquidneck Avenue. Online at buildwiththeh.com.
Everybody in? Enjoy Roger Williams Park Zoo's Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular drive-through experience now through November 1st.
Oh, look at the pumpkins.
Immerse yourself in the sights and sounds of the Halloween season
as you drive by thousands of intricately carved pumpkins.
Pre-buy tickets online.
Join Nairobi and all at Carty's Furniture and Mattresses.
The Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular is open through November 1st.
Wow, Mom, check out the sweater pumpkins.
Is that what you did with my sweaters?
Oh, boy.
This Movember, here's to the straggly mustaches, the lopsided ones, the oddly sexy ones, the itchy, patchy, raggedy ones, the peach fuzz ones, the hey, I look good with this ones, the scruffy ones, the black, blonde, red, and gray ones, the ones grown by Dad, the ones grown for Dad. They all raise awareness, raise funds, start conversations, and save lives. Because whatever you grow, will save a bro. Learn more at Movember.com.
WADK weather.
Pretty nice for today, mostly sunny and pleasant, high 69. A few clouds for tonight and mild, low 64. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow. You will need that rain gear. There will be morning showers, followed by periods of rain in the afternoon with a high of 68. Cooler and cloudy for tomorrow night with occasionally rain, low 49. Saturday, mostly cloudy and breezy. The heavy rain will move out with a high of 60. I'm Cheryl Golden on 1540 WADK.
Get the latest news 24/7 at WADK.com. 1540 WADK. WADK.
We have Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee at the top of the next hour. And then we'll have Dr. Jeffrey Gaines as well. And boy, there is radio silence from the Rhode Island media. There must be something huge coming down at 1 o'clock. Because ain't none of them tweeting. Crandall, Niecy, Nessie. Actually, Ted Niecy had some, what really, as I reflect upon it now, was a really dumb tweet. It was just dumb. I mean, why open yourself up for the kind of analysis, really? Kamala Harris has paused her campaign. I thought the COVID was only dealing with the Republicans. Apparently not. So is she still the fun aunt? Hey, you were allowed to laugh at her before she became, you know, Saint Kamala, right? So let's see. So Ted Niecy, the only member of the Providence statewide media to say anything, and I have to scroll way, way down to it here. He opined about the unemployment figures because the state unemployment figures are out as well. And you can tell it that there's nothing to report on because the public radio guy who used to write for the Phoenix and was supported by porn is dredging up his greatest hits and retweeting articles that he wrote when he wrote for the Phoenix that was supported by porn. But it was okay. You're not allowed to really say that. So let's see. Boy, there was a lot that went on in that hour. So that we can get some actual cogent reporting on American news, let's see what the CBC has to say about Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris will cancel her travel plans through Sunday after her communications director tested positive for COVID. Harris was last tested on Wednesday and was negative. She tweets about her staff member and a non-staff flight crew member testing positive for COVID-19. Both the crew member and the staff member were wearing N95 masks at all points. They were near me, and our doctors believe that we were not exposed under CDC guidelines. Okay. I mean, it's not like you dodged a bullet. Kamala rhymes with Pamela, the fun aunt. Right? I mean, okay, you didn't get it. Neither did most of the world. Because you did what the rest of us are being told endlessly that we're supposed to do. So you'll pardon us if we don't throw a testimonial for you. So Ted Nisi tweeted an hour ago, I said last month to treat jobs data with a bit of extra caution right now due to the pandemic. Good example today. Rhode Island unemployment rate was 10.5% in September, well down from 12.9% in August when it had jumped unexpectedly. Don't know which is right, but these are unusual swings. They can't even decide what to get, what to get us outraged about. I mean, so he says it was, it's unreliable that it's 10.5, but it may have been unreliable when it was 12.9. And where are we getting this from? Doesn't say. It's just a cutout of some statistics. Rhode Island unemployment rate, September 20, 10.5. September 19, 3.5. August of 20, there was 12.9 unemployment rate in Rhode Island. The Rhode Island unemployment rate was down 2.4 percentage points in a month. Through September, the Rhode Island economy has recovered 58.8% of the 98,000 lost jobs during the pandemic shutdown. So just over half of the jobs. So Nisi says, well, we don't know what's right. Can't really rely about this. So I responded and I said, it's 2008 all over again. The unemployment rate is simply the rate of people who are collecting unemployment insurance. The number of people, percentage of people collecting unemployment. That's all. It is not a reflection, as we found out in 2008, of people who are actually out of work. Because then, and it's even more so now, gig workers, independent contractors, older people, older than 40, who stopped looking for work because the realization dawned on us that nobody wanted us. So we stopped looking or went out and said, up yours, we're going to go make our own business and take all your money. So we're not counted. So if you recall, there was a classification of unemployment called the U-12 that was a more accurate representation of who actually did not have a means of supporting oneself as opposed to a job. So this is the same thing. So what I tweeted back to Ted was, gig workers, self-employed, and government money recipients are not in the count. Unreliable government information, just like COVID data. So there you go. So when you reflect on it, it's, wait a minute. So if you're saying that the 12.9 was unreliable, what are we to glean from that? That there were more people out of work than 12.9? Or is it that there are more people out of work than the 10.5? I don't think either is quite true, by the way, because as we just heard from the real world, there are jobs going begging. That's why the Chamber of Commerce is having a job fair, because there are companies that need to hire people and can't find people that want to work. So the feeling from here is that it's really the media is torqued off because the facts aren't going along with their little narrative. And all they have to sell is fear. things are terrible, so you better tune into the 4 o'clock news or the 6 o'clock news and find out if there's any hope for you in your miserable little life. That's basically the media. I think that's the conclusion that they want us to reach. Well, how dare, what do you mean half the jobs came back? That's not what we're saying. How dare you? Don't go against the narrative. Time for WADK's, what do we do here? It's the bottom of the hour. All right, Boating in the Bay.
1540 WADK. Here's your Boating in the Bay report.
Small craft advisory in effect through late tonight, this afternoon and tonight. South winds at 10 to 15, gusting to 25, waves 2 to 3 feet. Tomorrow, south winds around 10, becoming west, gusting to 20 in the afternoon, waves 2 to 3 feet and a chance of showers. And looking ahead to Saturday, northwest winds 10 to 15, gusting to 25, fog and rain. Not going to be nice for Saturday. Sunday's supposed to be nice, though. Next, high tide in Newport Harbor, 7:22 this evening. Sunset, 6:05. Sunrise tomorrow, just before 7. The moon is new, and there is a small craft advisory. Current temperature in the Newport waterfront is 66. And that's Boating and the Bay on WADK.
This portion of programming is sponsored by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation has been at the forefront of inflammatory bowel disease research and care for over 50 years. Learn more about research, education, and support at crohnscolitisfoundation.org.
Now, your local headlines on 1540 WADK.
Good morning. Thursday. Today's the day Governor Raimondo is going to unveil some new regulations designed to control the current uptick in COVID cases, but there won't be school closing, restaurant closing, retail closing. She stopped short of barring trick-or-treating. Cancel your Halloween party. The number of new cases, the positivity rate, number of hospitalizations are all on the rise, and that gives rise to new regulations. You'll hear the governor live on WADK around 1 o'clock. It is not coming from nursing homes, colleges, schools. Johnson & Wales going back to in-person learning. The governor thinks more testing is the answer, testing of the asymptomatic. She herself is going to start getting tested every week. She's been tested 3 times so far. So here are the numbers from yesterday. 160 new confirmed cases, according to the Department of Health. 8 new deaths. Now, that was only 6,000 tests, a positivity rate of about 2.7%. The governor keeps saying 10,000 people a day get tested. If that were the case, the rate would be much lower. Number of patients in the hospital is 131. The governor says hospitals are still well below any kind of capacity. Massachusetts has put Fall River on the red zone. 107 people tested positive in Fall River. No restrictions on school or retail. Basically, it means no laser tag. Portsmouth School Superintendent Tom Kenworthy told the school committee Tuesday night, Portsmouth intends to stick with a hybrid approach for grades 7 to 12 at this time. Most families would rather have them in person every day of the week, but Kenworthy told East Bay RI it's a staffing issue. Wednesday was the first day of early person voting in Rhode Island. Almost 6,500 people voted early in person just on Wednesday. The Newport Planning Board will take up for the first time a draft North End urban plan. NBBJ will be on hand. It'll be next Thursday, the 22nd, via Zoom. Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee will be live on WADK at noon today, talking about his work to bring about the newly announced expansions to the Restore RI Small Business Grant Program, along with some new grants and newly announced nonprofit grants. You'll hear the LG live on WADK at noon today. And your weather word, continued sunny and nice. Details on the way on 1540 WADK.
Are you a real coffee lover looking for the absolute best flavor you can get? Then try Custom House Coffee in Middletown. We roast the finest high-grown Arabica coffee beans every day, so we can give you the freshest, most flavorful coffee you can buy. Stop by our coffee house on Aquidneck Avenue and give us a try. If you brew coffee at home, pick up a pound. We take so much pride in our freshness that we print the roast date on every bag. Custom House Coffee has been recognized nearly every year over the past 18 years by Newport Life and Rhode Island Monthly magazines for best coffee, latte, cappuccino, or coffee house. Stop by the shop where you might find one of us roasting right there in the store. Or pick up a pound at some of the finest markets in the area, including A Market, Clements Market, McQuaid's Markets, Green Grocer, Rock's Fresh Foods, Belmont Market, and many others. Custom House Coffee, 796 Aquidneck Avenue, Middletown, Rhode Island.
Save money on a new heating system and be ready for old man winter. Superior Comfort Incorporated is offering up to $600 off a new high-efficiency heating system on qualifying equipment from now until November 16th. They're also offering 0% financing on new heating systems. Just need a fall tune-up for your existing furnace? New customers save $10 from now until October 30th. Call Superior Comfort Incorporated, 401-396-9171.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Stop by Island Wine and Spirits on your way home today for wine, spirits, and beer. 289 Broadway at the corner of Bliss Road.
Sunday Swing Time, every Sunday morning at 10. A WADK tradition for more than 40 years. This is your host, Bob Angel, extending an invitation to listen in. Enjoy a blend of big bands, jazz ensembles, and classic vocalists. Sunday Swing Time, Sunday mornings at 10, right here at AM 1540 WADK and WADK.com.
You absolutely love your new vehicle, but you would also love lower monthly payments. Call People's Credit Union or go online to check out their great low rates. People's Credit Union takes the hassle out of auto loan refinancing by making it so easy. Just visit peoplescu.com and apply for a loan today. People's Credit Union will help you make the most of your hard-earned money. Go to peoplescu.com today.
Big Brothers Big Sisters changes children's lives one donation at a time. Your donated clothing and small household items directly fund their youth mentoring programs. Drop off items at their 1341 West Main Road Middletown location or schedule a curbside pickup at donateri.org.
Your hometown information station, 1540 WADK.
For a Corona quote. We're not going to hear this from the stage of the Vets Auditorium today, I can tell you that, but we should. The virus doesn't move. People move the virus. We stop moving. The virus stops moving. The virus dies. It's that simple. Yup. Wear your mask. Stop with the posturing and wear your mask. COVID-19 and air travel. A new study that detected the spread of droplets on an airplane, showing that with a mask on, only 0.003% of particles actually made their way into another passenger's breathing zone. Excuse me, you're in my breathing zone. The test run by the Department of Defense, working with United Airlines, did not attempt to replicate what might happen when an infected person stands up or moves throughout the cabin. But 0.003. So ABC News contributor Dr. Todd Ellerin says, well, let's let him say it, right? I have the verbiage here, but let the doc talk.
The risk is low, but I do want to point out, remember, it's not zero. But overall, when you think about indoor transmission, it may be that planes are some of the safest places you can be.
Wait a minute. I was with you up to that point, doc. Yeah, right. A metal tube that's sealed up and with no air coming in except through some filter. That's one of the safest places you can be. Right. Where's he from? He sounds like he's from around here, doesn't he? He's from South Weymouth, Massachusetts. I thought I could hear that Boston accent. It's not. Zero, Bobby. This is Dr. Todd telling you it's not zero. Could be 40 or 50. Or 30. Time for traffic. WADK's exclusive VD Mercedes-Benz VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Bridge Traffic Report. The Volvo Cars. We have a moderate volume on the Newport Pell Bridge through the construction zone. Not a bad ride. You're just down to 25 miles an hour in that stretch from midspan to the Newport Tower. Moderate on the Kalfas off-ramp, running well, coming down to Connell. Out on the Jamestown-Verrazano westbound, two spots of slow traffic through the construction zone with a lane restriction. So 8 to 10 minutes tops from Boston Neck Road to the downtown Newport exits. On the Mount Hope Bridge, it's getting better. The jam-up doesn't start until the bridge itself in Bristol. And then your slow stall and crawl, stop and go, creep and beep. I just remembered that one. That's from, I think that's Joe Green or Kevin O'Keefe in the Skyway Patrol. Used to say that one. A creep and beep from the bridge entrance in Bristol all the way across the bridge. And getting on the bridge is a slow go from halfway down Boyd's Lane, and you're backed up well onto Boston Neck, Bristol Ferry Road, rather. Bristol Ferry Road, getting up onto that bridge. Sakonnet River Bridge, as always, looking good from Portsmouth to the VD side of the river. And we check the bridges every 30 minutes. We will continue to do so right through midday for you now here in the VD, Mercedes-Benz VD Volvo Cars. Bridge traffic report. Quick construction update.
Now, a 1540 WADK construction update.
I think I'm a little behind on my construction updates. Connington and J.T. Connell from Lake Erie to Maple Avenue. That's from the brewery to the college. Shoulder closures for construction until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And they're changing concrete panels on Bellevue Avenue near the Redwood Library. Could be some lane closures and some delays getting through there.
WADK weather.
Pretty nice for today. Mostly sunny and pleasant. High 69. A few clouds for tonight and mild, low 64. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow. You will need that rain gear. There will be morning showers followed by periods of rain in the afternoon with a high of 68. Cooler and cloudy for tomorrow night with occasional late rain, low 49. Saturday, mostly cloudy and breezy. The heavy rain will move out with a high of 60. I'm Cheryl Golden on 1540 WADK.
All right, Bob Angel next.
You're listening to AM 1540 WADK. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of station management or its advertisers. Your views and opinions are welcome at 846-1028 AM 1540 WADK. WADK Sports.
Major League Baseball playoffs continuing later today in the American League Series out in San Diego. Tampa Bay takes on Houston a little after 5 o'clock our time. Tampa leading in the series now 3-1, while the National League Championship Series will be resuming a little bit later tonight, a little after 8, out there in Arlington, Texas, where the Dodgers take on the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves leading 2-1. Last night's results in the American League. George Springer had a key go-ahead two-run homer in the fifth inning to help Houston defeat Tampa Bay 4-3, and that gave the Astros their first win in the series so far. Jose Altuve got the Astros off to a great start with a leadoff homer, and on the mound, Zach Greinke took care of six innings, allowing only two runs to get the win. And in the National League Series last night, the L.A. Dodgers put together an amazing game. They scored a postseason record 11 runs in the first inning as they went on to crush the Atlanta Braves 15-3. Max Muncy had a grand slam in that first inning. Jock Peterson had a three-run homer. Edwin Rios homered in that first inning. On the mound, Julio Urias picked up the win. He worked the first five innings, only gave up a run and three hits while fanning five. And again, both series continuing later today. And Houston, especially with a key game, they've got to come up with another win, otherwise they'll be eliminated. Patriots starting quarterback Cam Newton returning to practice today. He had missed the team's last game after being diagnosed with COVID-19. The Patriots, meanwhile, have not reported any new positive cases since Sunday. Pats now getting ready to host Denver this Sunday afternoon, with the Pats going in at 2-2 and 2-0 at home. Denver comes in at 1-3. The NFL has decided to cancel the Pro Bowl. It will not be played this year because of the pandemic. Players, however, can still be voted onto the Pro Bowl roster, but there won't be a game. Everything after that will have virtual activities. University of Alabama's football coach Nick Saban is out with the coronavirus, as is his athletic director Greg Byrne. Both tested positive. Both went home immediately to self-isolate after they got their results. Alabama ranked number 2 in the nation, due to take on number 3 Georgia this weekend. The Boston Bruins might not be playing any hockey again until February. According to Las Vegas Golden Knights owner Bill Foley, he's of the belief that the next season won't begin until the 1st of February and consist of less than 60 games. The NHL so far has been targeting January 1st as a possible start date. Providence College has announced that March Madness will be coming back to the Dunkin' Donuts Center in 2025. The Dunk previously hosted the NCAA tournament in 2010 and again in 2016. Also, the NCAA revealing that Brown University will be hosting the NCAA Hockey East Regional, and that'll happen in 2024. That is your WADK Sports Update.
WADK gives you the information you need.
If you wait for the newspaper, it's old news. You know, you want to keep up to date.
On air and online.
Yeah, everything's online.
WADK.com.
And we have the corona numbers. And if you look at the major media, you'll go and hide under your bed. Untold new cases. Holy smoke. The actual number from the Department of Health is thus 228. All right, that's up. That's high. We haven't seen that kind of number since January, February, June, and July, or something like that. However, there were 12,000 tests. So that's more like it. It's the most testing in a week. And so the percent of positivity is actually fairly acceptable. The actual number is 1.85. Now, where do we get those numbers? From the Bruce Newberry calculator. I divide 228 into 12,312. I hit the percent and I get 1.85. Now, here's where it gets fuzzy. Let me read you the Channel 10 story. The Rhode Island Department of Health reported on Thursday 274 new cases. Now, I just read you exactly from the Rhode Island Department of Health website. Where did they get these? We made them up. 228 were recorded for Wednesday. The other 46 were added to previous dates. We just made them up out of whole cloth. I mean, they can point to an actual place where those numbers live, but they're not today's numbers. So there are not 274 new cases. There are 228 new cases. If you're in the hospital, by the way, the hospital number is a little lower than it was yesterday, 129. It was 131 yesterday. So if you're in the hospital yesterday, and you're in the hospital today, are you two people in the hospital? No, you're one person in the hospital. Right? So they don't do that. They don't go back and say, oh, by the way, there are an extra 6,000 people in the hospital because the people who were there a week ago are still there, so they count again. Right? It's absurd. They're making they're literally making up the numbers. Making them up. Pulling them out of whole cloth. On Wednesday, the state recorded the administration of 12,312 tests. Now, that was the same number that the Department of Health has. What struck Channel 10? With a positive rate of 1.9%, which you round up 1.8 because you deal in fear, and so it's 1.9. It's 1.85. So there you go. It's going to be red, green, yellow, red, green. 1, 2, 3, red light. Watch what happens. The governor will announce, and it wasn't ready yesterday, so she couldn't have rolled it out yesterday, which they should have just bagged the whole circus yesterday, because there was, other than the veiled threat of whatever's coming down today, which then she had to back off from, the governor, and say, well, no, we're not closing schools. No, we're not going back to phase two. No, we're not going to close restaurants. No, we're not going to close laser tag. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I can't tell you. One of them said that. It was either Governor Raimondo or Dr. Alexander Scott actually said, well, we'll tell you that tomorrow. We can't tell you. So they didn't have the package all wrapped up and tied up with a bow from Boston. So they couldn't, they just didn't have the thing ready. The term paper was not done. Mom, I didn't finish my homework. So they should have bagged it and said, okay, we're just going to have one today and we'll tell you all about what's going to go on. I can't imagine how long this thing's going to go on. I mean, they have to have a long siege, because all of the fringe players, the bloggers, and the basically they're the homeless people of the media, have to get up and have their say, and they can't turn away any of them. So they get the legit media in there, and then all of the crackpots line up and make their speeches. They don't even ask questions. They make speeches. I will be quite forthcoming with you. I bailed out of the coverage when the Libertarian who was run for office, who was a talk show caller, his name is Pat Ford, was making a speech. And I said, this is getting us nowhere. And I said, enough. And I went into the recap. So that was me. Because I think you deserve better than claptrap. It's amazing. The guy calls himself a libertarian, but he's more than willing to quote the World Health Organization. Right? I'm a libertarian, except I want one world government when it comes to health. Oh, man. All right. We have Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee around the corner, and he's got a few things to talk about with us, one of which is he can take a little victory lap, because it was at his doing that there is more money available in the Restore RI thing. So we will get to all that momentarily.
This is John Martin with an AARP Rhode Island update. Did you know there's a shortage of 2020 election poll workers? That's why AARP is reaching out to help recruit first-time workers as part of a partnership with Poll the Powers and the Association of Young Americans. The pandemic is affecting the number of people who may be able to work the polls, which could result in closed polling places or longer lines on Election Day. In 2018, around 6 in 10 U.S. poll workers were ages 61 and older, including 27% over age 70. In 2020, many will play it safe during the pandemic and stay home. There is an urgent need for more poll workers this election, both people 50-plus and younger Rhode Islanders. You can help by becoming a poll worker and by encouraging others, especially younger people, to sign up and lend a hand. Find out how to be a poll worker in your community at www.powerthepolls.org/AARP.
From the VD Mercedes-Benz VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Studios, this is your hometown information station, 1540 WADK Newport.
Newport Propane and the Sherman family have been serving Rhode Islanders for nearly 60 years. At Newport Propane, we take pride in offering the very best customer service to clients who are truly part of our extended family. And when it comes to our installations, our customers receive only the best, with work that stands up like no other to the challenge.